think a pandemic-induced e-commerce boom would be good for one of the biggest cardboard bakers, but... Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Yes, our sudden switch to online shopping during the last year has increased the number of cardboard boxes needed to ship our goods. But for London-based company DS Smith, the surge in volume from individual customers like you and me wasn't enough to offset the loss of corporate customers. The packaging manufacturer today said that despite record growth in the second half of the year, it booked a 38% drop in profit during its latest financial year. Still, Miles Roberts, DS Smith's chief executive, says things are looking up.
Our first quarter was down in volumes, but every other quarter was showing good positive growth. So looking into the current year, we started with even higher volumes, we gained market share, and we've also seen some very healthy improvements in the prices of our products as well. So we do expect to see a very significant improvement in profitability, really built on the support we've given our customers over the last 12 months.
So are you seeing corporate customers come back? Because obviously individual sales from people like you and me sort of helped in the first part of last year. Are you seeing corporate customers come back now?
Absolutely. Look, you know, we make packaging, we specialize in e-commerce and food and drink customers. We've seen consumers switching to buying e-commerce, and that's really drove our volumes. And that's in Europe and in the US. That switch to online shopping, the resilience of the fast-moving consumer goods sector really put us in a good stead. So whilst the group grew at over 8% in the second half, our US business was actually well ahead of that.
Miles Roberts, the chief executive of DS Smith. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, having paired earlier losses, DS Smith shares are now down 1.6% on the FTSE 100 here in London. Checking some other numbers, global oil benchmark Brent crude briefly traded above $75 a barrel for the first time in more than 2 years today. That's amid optimism demand will continue to improve from a pandemic drop-off. And Bitcoin has regained a bit of its ground today. It hit a two-week low yesterday after China's central bank continued to clamp down on cryptocurrency trading. Well, 6 months after Brexit, the British government is still looking for new trade deals. Today, officials will formally open talks for membership into a trade club of Pacific Rim nations. Prime Minister Boris Johnson says joining the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement on Trans-Pacific Trade would unlock, quote, unparalleled opportunities. But the BBC's Darshini David explains economic benefits may be limited for now.
The agreement with Pacific Rim nations brings together 11 countries, from Canada to Singapore, with which UK trade has typically risen by 8% per year. The government hopes a tie-up will eliminate almost all tariffs British exporters face in those nations, but the UK already has deals with 8 of these countries. The gains might be less than 0.1% of GDP. The real boost will come if others join. So far, America under President Biden hasn't indicated it will join, nor has a date been set to resume UK-US talks on a direct deal. And as trading partners go, the US is twice as important to the UK as all the CPTPP nations put together.
That's Darshini David reporting there. A social media storm has been brewing in India, where the government is taking on tech giants for failing to comply with new content moderation rules. While Twitter said it was making every effort to comply, the government contends the social media platform chose a path of deliberate defiance. The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee explains whether the social network can now be made criminally liable for any content authorities flag as objectionable.
It's not every day that one finds Twitter being mentioned in a police complaint. They've been accused of not taking down tweets on an alleged assault. The police claim the viral video could have triggered communal violence. Prior to the new rules being enforced last month, the social networking platform enjoyed legal immunity as an intermediary. Sources at Twitter say they've not heard from the government yet. In a series of tweets, the Indian IT minister criticized the platform for defying local laws, but stopped short of clarifying whether Twitter had lost its legal shield in India. Legal director at the Software Freedom Law Center, Mishi Chaudhary, says it's inaccurate to say that Twitter has lost legal indemnity.
Neither the tweets by any ministry or minister determines the legal shield status we are talking about. Once the matter reaches the court, then the court decides about it.
The Indian government had introduced new guidelines earlier this year. On the 25th of February, the Information Technology Minister, Ravi Shankar Prasad, said the new rules were crucial to hold companies accountable and tackle fake news.
You'll have to have a chief compliance officer resident in India, responsible for ensuring compliance of the acts and the rules.
Twitter has so far blamed the delays on logistical problems due to the pandemic. After a final notice from the government in the first week of June, Twitter now says it has complied by appointing an interim chief compliance officer. It's been a key sticking point, because if there's a problem, that employee can face legal proceedings, says Nikhil Pawa, founder of digital news website Medianama and a digital rights activist.
Sending the employee of a US-based company to jail becomes an international incident. So the government will try and avoid that situation, but it's still a stick that they can use to try and bully the platforms.
It was quite a sight earlier in May when we saw several police officials landing up at Twitter's offices to investigate why a ruling party leader's tweet had been labeled manipulated media. Twitter called this an intimidation tactic. Critics say the new rules are tools to muzzle dissent. WhatsApp has already sued the government, claiming its new rules violate the privacy of its users. Experts say Twitter too has a legal recourse. In Delhi, I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.